Connie, here on Coast to Coast AM, we are talking about 9/11 and also open lines. Tomorrow, Richard Syrett is back, and he's going to be doing more on 9/11. In fact, he's going to take care of that area that some of you are wanting to really talk about and discuss. He's got three different guests on, and they're going to be talking about the alternative theories on what happened. So you guys are going to love that. I know that the three guests are, we got Dr. Judy D. Wood coming in, S.K. Bain, also David Chandler. So that's going to be tomorrow with Richard. Now, our open lines continues, and I want to hear, where were you when it happened? 9/11. Open lines still going here on Coast to Coast AM. You're listening to Coast AM. Connie Willis here. It is open lines, so we're taking your questions, and I want to know where you were when it happened, 9/11. 20 years ago today, still for many people, but I know we're getting into the next day and things like that. Hey, if you want to find me, by the way, and join my shows, that would be great as well. You can find me at ConnieWillis.com. Take you out to Creepy Hotspots, Live Investigations. Also, got some other new shows coming up, so I hope that you'll join me and just at least sign up, and I can send you some emails and things like that of what's going on. I always let you know when I'm going to be on Coast to Coast as well. That's at ConnieWillis.com. So we are going to go to the phones. We've got a lot of, I really hope we can catch all of everybody's calls here. So if you can kind of maybe kind of tell your answer and then kind of move on. I hate to say that. I want to get y'all on. I don't want it to sound bad like that. Let's go to wildcard line number four, Annetta out of Louisville, Kentucky. Annetta, what's up with you tonight? Hello.
Hey, Connie. So nice to talk to you. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely. Welcome to Coast to Coast.
Thank you. I wanted to share really quickly my story of the day of 9/11. I was just getting ready for work. I lived in Boston, Massachusetts, and just getting ready for work, putting on my makeup. I was alone in the house and just concentrating. And I was thinking to myself, what color eyeshadow do I want to put on? And something said in the back of my head, black, because this is a day of mourning. And I was looking around like, who said that? You know, I've never had that experience before, but it was really disturbing. And when I went to work that day, all of a sudden, you know, everything started to really make sense after what happened. So it was like I got a message from spirit that said, this is a day you need to prepare for.
Wow. And you haven't had that before?
Well, I think I have a little bit of mediumship. It's becoming a little bit more and more pronounced as I do a lot of hypnotherapy. I think I've tapped into something, but I think I've always had a little bit of it. And it really came through that day. So it was just incredible. And of course, I heard you say that you'd been to the towers a few weeks before. So had I. I'm surprised.
Yeah. Oh.
Each other there. And I toured the observation deck and everything, too. So it was really amazing to have been there just before this happened. My background was in architecture and design. So I had a connection with the buildings, and I loved to tour there and loved to go to the buildings. So, you know, there was two prong, you know, the sadness for the people who perished and then the buildings themselves as a designer. It was just horrible to see.
Yeah.
It be gone.
I got two questions for you from what you're doing. Okay. So when did you get your picture taken?
I did. Yes.
How did it look though? Like when I saw mine, I kid you not, I said it out loud. I said, this looks like
it,
history.
It's weird. Yeah. I still have the picture, and it did look really strange to me. And, you know, everybody that was going up, like you said, had to get their picture taken. And when I was standing there waiting for my friend, there was almost a fist fight going on. And I wish I had turned to really look and see who it was, because there were people from another country that didn't want their picture taken, and they were adamant.
Ooh.
And I said, that is really strange. Why would they not want their picture taken? But, you know, some religions, they don't want that, so I understand. But at the same time, it made me wonder, did maybe the hijackers come and tour the building before they had that happen before they did that.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so now let's go to the architect side.
Yeah.
So knowing the building or knowing architect, because a lot of the conspiracy from people is that there's no way it could have ever fallen like that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, and understanding construction, understanding physics, I found it very odd that the buildings all came down like it was controlled demolition. I've watched the videos over and over, and I watched it very carefully, and the structures were extremely strong. Now, the fire intensity, I was surprised it didn't fall over, you know, which would have been even worse, of course, but only by the grace that they came down the way they did. But at the same time, it was very odd that all of them came down like that. I've seen controlled demolition in person, so I know what it looks like. But, you know, I have questions. I do.
Yeah. I remember some interview where the guy had said, well, that's how we have it set up. When you're in a city like that, mm-hmm. you have mm-hmm. to create it like that, or it will, you yeah. know, boom, and knock down a whole lot more. And that, of course, made sense to me. Mm-hmm. But they also said there's some sort of mechanism that if anything ever did happen like that, it would go down as it did. Mm-hmm. So that apparently was by design. But do you know that to be true or no? Or
yeah, that is something. I mean, I don't have demolition schooling.
Oh, come on.
I know how to bring
them up. How dare you?
But it is, it was interesting. I mean, I think that makes sense if they do that, of course, because if you had have a very tight landscape, because all the buildings in New York, I mean, I know New York so well, and everything is very tight. So if they did have to bring the buildings down, but, you know, I always thought too, of course, they have to put the demolition, the dynamite in key places to do that. So that's what made me think that, yeah, that's really odd that they all came down that way. Even the hotel came down that way. And I'm trying to remember if that was something that was done on purpose. I never can remember the whole story on the hotel. It came down like a controlled demolition, too. But I couldn't remember if they did that on purpose just to take it down because it was already falling apart. But, yeah, you know, I just felt like there was so much that we don't know. But my sister, she actually, the connection that I have, she worked in Los Angeles. And her office manager, the CEO of her company, and another good friend were on the first plane.
Oh.
And they were coming, yeah. They were coming from my town that I lived in Watertown, Massachusetts. And they worked for eLogic. And, you know, they were flying back to California that day from Boston. And, you know, I'm good friends with the wife of one of the gentlemen who perished. And it was just devastating. And I remember meeting her and her mother for dinner not long after that happened. And she was completely shell-shocked. And, of course, that would be just a devastating thing to happen. But, yeah,
wow.
I mean, every year I watch, I look, and I grieve with all those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Well, 20 years. I can't believe it's been 20 years. So one other question for you, because you mentioned it, the hypnotherapy. Tell me about that. Love that. Love that.
Yes, thank you. Well, I have become a hypnotherapist just by wanting to help people in a more intense way. Being a life coach, I saw that people were suffering in other ways, such as having addictions, having issues that they couldn't, you know, get over, the PTSD issue. And I help people lose weight. People are losing weight. They're quitting smoking. And it's just with one session. It's amazing. Technique, and I've gotten great success with it.
Which one? Is this NLP? Are you talking NLP?
It actually is Marissa Peer. She's out of the UK, and she's developed a different kind of, you know, hypnotherapy that's very quick, very easy, and very effective. So I have to say that she's done something here with this, and I'm having a wonderful time with it.
Oh, well, congratulations. That's cool. All right. Well, thank you for your call. Appreciate that. And a spirit. Wow. What color eyeshadow should I put on? Black for a day of mourning, basically, was the message. Wow, didn't expect to hear that one. So open lines continue. Where were you when it happened? 9/11. Let's see who we got on the lines here. East of the Rockies, Jack out of Cleveland. Hey there, Jack. Welcome to Coast to Coast.
Hi. I was in a restaurant and reading an alternative website, and naturally I was really chagrined to see the probable damage to so many people. But then the very articles I was reading on an alternate website called globalresearch.ca was talking about an organization, an elite and rather sinister organization called the Project for a New American Century, before 9/11 happened. And this article, among the members of the military industrial CIA and media complex, in effect, the Cheneys, the Rumsfelds, the Richard Perls, and others connected with those lobbying for more militarism and war and intervention around the world, were celebrating the demise of the Soviet Union because they said at that point it would free up the United States for any kind of war or interventionism around the world that it wanted. But they said, absent, and this is their words, absent a second Pearl Harbor event, it would be difficult to galvanize the public opinion to that effect. And I then realized the dread that came over me, that this was going to be used, what exactly it has been used for, to in effect lie us into wars around the world. The claim that originally Iraq was connected to Al-Qaeda, which was a total lie. The claims that they had these weapons of mass destruction leading to nuclear weapons, which was a total lie. The lie that they had a person that was a daughter of one of the Kuwaiti billionaires posing as a nurse and giving acting lessons on how to appear before Congress and C-SPAN and the rest of the U.S. media to claim that the Iraqi army had thrown babies off of incubators. Just scurrilous lies.
Well, we're going to let you guys know that tomorrow you can talk about all the alternative thoughts and theories with Richard Sirrett tomorrow. Open lines tonight. We want to know where you were, and I want to really care about the people that were taken away with this, and kind of do it more of a celebration of that in their lives, as opposed to getting into the deep down and dirty that we can talk about any other time kind of thing. So I hope that you guys can come with something to tell me what you saw, when, how you saw it, what you remembered, kind of just bringing us together a little bit on this one. So let's go back to the open lines and go back to the phone calls and see if we can't get into something else like that. We can do tomorrow night. You got all the conspiracy you can handle. So just a FYI on that. First time caller, Jim, out of the, oh my gosh, Hawaii, the big island. Jim, welcome to Coast to Coast. How are you?
Evening, Connie. Well, again, my heart is saddened about this day.
Yes.
And when it happened, I was living on Oahu at the time. I was getting up, getting ready to go do work, turned on the TV, and the first plane had already hit.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting there thinking, oh my God, because of the way the fire was. And then, if you remember, one of the news people who were filming it caught the second plane going into the second tower. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh my, then you hear about the plane heading for the Pentagon where the people, you know, fought to overtake it, sacrifice themselves to protect the Pentagon. So my heart goes out to all the victims and their families. And one other thing I'd like to mention is a year or two later, on a program called How the Lottery Changed My Life, there was this guy, he won like $45 million or something like that. He had an appointment at Stanley Morgan at 8:30 in the morning on 9/11. And a few days before, he got a feeling, he says, I don't want to go then. And he changed his mind and didn't go. So anyway, he ends up getting his money invested. He's getting $18,000 a day. And then he's kind of, his attitude kind of hurts me and saddens me, because he would said like, oh, I get $18,000 a day. If I want a new Cadillac, I just wait 2 or 3 days and go down and pay cash for it. And then they took him inside his house. He had all these expensive chandeliers hanging from his roof, covering his whole roof, glass tables, all kinds of expensive things. Now, if I would have won that kind of money, I would have been doing something for the families of all the victims.
Yeah. You know, money. You learn who people are when it comes to money, and you learn who people are when someone passes away as well. And if somebody gets a whole lot of money, if we just go back to that subject, yeah, you'll find out who they are right away with what they do with it, and to each their own, right? But yeah. So, hey, you keep playing that lottery and see what happens, Jim, because I'm sure they would love if you helped them out for sure. West of the Rockies, Ben out of, what do we have? Do we have enough time here? Let's try to grab Ben, west of the Rockies, California. We got a short time, Ben, but hey there, welcome to Coast to Coast.
Hi, Connie. How's the audio on your end?
It sounds great. How about you?
Oh, good.
Am I sounding good on your side? Okay.
Yeah, I can hear you fine. I was out of work at the time, and the previous summer I had been taking disaster service human resource classes with the American Red Cross. So I was at home that morning. A relative called me and said, hey, you got to turn on the TV. And I'm like, okay. I turned it on, and I was just like many people, just in time to see the second plane hit the second tower. Come to find out, a few weeks later, the Red Cross recruited me to send me to New York City. So they stationed me right there at St. John's at the corner of West and Barclay. Mm-hmm. And what they had me doing was we're driving a rescue vehicle around town to deliver hot meals to the rescue workers and to deliver snacks and supplies to the rescue workers involved with the rescue operation directly, at the site of Ground Zero. So just an amazing experience. And I was just in the right place at the right time. Had taken classes, like I said, and was just amazed by the love that was in the town at that time. And got to see, something that.
I like that, Ben. That's really nice. I think that's excellent. What a great opportunity. And thank you for doing that as well. Open Lines continues. And we are saying, hey, where were you when it happened? 9/11. Connie Willis here on Coast to Coast AM. It's Coast to Coast AM. Connie Willis here. It is Open Lines. Where were you when it happened? 9/11. 9/11. Coming to a close here. For a lot of you, it is already 9/12. But we've been having an interesting time tonight as well as last night, getting a lot of stories from you guys. I really appreciate it. And I enjoy the emails as well that are accepting of the premonitions that come along, because everybody's got a story about it. But I know that, and it's great that it's coast to coast, right? Because we're very open about that and talking about the premonitions. And so I think we have some of those coming. Wait a minute. I know we have some of those coming. Actually, we do have some of those coming. You know, sometimes jokes work and sometimes they don't. But I did have premonitions about it. And when it comes to premonitions, at least with me, you never, I can see it and then go, But I guess as you get better and better or more knowledgeable about it, you can recognize, hey, I'm going to hold that thought and remember it later. So but at the time, 20 years ago, I had no idea. And when I saw some of the things I saw myself being in New York, I just thought, that's just New York, you know? And it's amazing that, I don't know, you know, I'm not someone who gets them all the time, and getting them with 9/11 was just eerie in its own right. Wildcard line number 5, we're going to continue open lines with Barbara out of Lakeland, Florida. Hey, Barbara, how are you?
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. I was in Fort Lauderdale. I had just moved to from Orlando to Fort Lauderdale 4 months before, but I was several miles from the beach on this particular morning, and that's relevant to what took place. My car was in a repair shop, and this is about 9:15, and I was across the street just browsing by the front of these shops that hadn't opened yet. And so I see this mom and pop upholstery shop, and there's a crab running back and forth right there at the doorway. But yet I'm still several miles from the ocean.
It was a crab?
One of those ghost crabs?
You know,
they're supposed to be in the ocean or near the water on the beach, something like that. And I thought, what on earth is going on in the universe? Not even a couple minutes later, the shop owners opened the door. They were not yet open for business, and they said, come in. And they took me to their back room and to see what was going on TV. But I was chauffeuring. I was doing some chauffeuring work for a company that day, and I ended up having a trip to Sarasota because someone couldn't fly home and had been up there in Sarasota for the day on business. So a little synchronicity with your life.
Yeah.
As well as the strange thing with this crab. I thought, what on earth is going on in the universe?
Wow. Interesting. The crab story. Wow. I like that. Wow. That is. And then Sarasota, that's where Bush was at the time too. That's amazing. Thank you so much for that story. That's Barbara out of Lakeland, Florida. Let's go first time caller, Linda out of California. Hi, Linda. Welcome to Coast to Coast.
Hi, Connie. Can you hear me all right?
I can.
Okay, good. Okay, so I lived in Maryland back in about 1984, and I went to New York by myself to a Star Trek convention, so that's why
all
I was
right.
there.
Cool.
And then I thought, okay, I need to do some touristy stuff, so I went to the Empire State Building one day, all the way up to the rooftop, and I'm looking around, enjoying the view and everything. And I noticed the two tall, really tall buildings. And I asked, one of the other tourists, so what are those buildings? And they said, oh, it's the World Trade Center towers. I'm like, oh, okay. But for some reason, I kept staring at them. It was like I had to drink it in. It felt really surreal. I couldn't figure out why I kept being drawn back to that side to stare at those buildings. I didn't know why. Well, you know, why I had this feeling. It's just really weird. Anyway, I never really even told anybody about that. And then when it happened, the morning of 9/11, I was a single parent at the time living in California, getting ready for work. And I always turned on the TV to watch the news, you know, see what the weather was. I was mostly interested in what I should wear for the day and stuff. And, of course, the first plane had already hit the one tower, so I was, like, riveted, like, what's going on? And I actually saw the second plane. I watched that hit the other tower, and I was like, oh, my God, this is horrible. And my little one, she was like 7 at the time. She woke up because she heard me, you know, saying, oh, my God, oh, my God. Anyway, so later I remembered the experience of being on top of the Empire State Building and drinking in the picture of those two buildings, you know, and I thought about that later. I thought, oh, my gosh, that was probably some sort of premonition. I have had dreams, you know, precognitive dreams occasionally. My grandmother was a medium, so kind of wasn't too surprised about that. But it was just a really strange, you know, surreal experience.
Yeah, it's hard to explain, isn't it? When there's just something odd. You're like, something's a little amiss. Don't know what, don't know why, but, you know. Is that kind of the feel that you had?
Yeah, I just couldn't get enough of looking at those buildings. I felt like I had to just stare at them and drink it in. It's like really strange. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well, thank you for that call. I appreciate that one. Yeah, that's you just get that like something. What is it? There's something that's catching my eye. What is it? And then later on, when something happens, you kind of think back, oh, maybe that's why I felt like that. And I always try to remember when I feel like that again and make note of it to see if there's anything behind it. But as far as I know, there's nothing you can do about it anyway. But I don't know. I wonder where those come from. I wonder how come that happens. Different frequencies, different times, and all of a sudden you get a shot of it in your head and in your mind. I don't know, maybe someone, well, that'll be another show we'll put together for sure. West of the Rockies, Jeannie, Citrus Heights, California. Hi there, Jeannie. Welcome to Coast to Coast. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm glad to have my air conditioner fixed tomorrow. It's hot here.
Oh, is it hot there?
Yeah. That's why I got the whole house fan on, so it's a little noisy. Yes, I wanted to tell you, I know you were doing that for 9/11, but I have something before 9/11. I have a friend who is who is kind of psychic, and she saw when she was underwater. We were in my pool, and she went underwater about six times, and her guides were showing her the East Coast, and they showed balls of fire. They showed people in agony. She didn't see the planes, but she did see. They showed her a lot. She saw the five star, which she found out later was the Pentagon. She saw the alert, which we had later, which was the 9/11. She saw that. She was shown this a month before it happened.
Oh my! So does water help her, or just so happened to be under the pool?
She was in the pool. We both were in the pool, and she's like a fish. She can swim underwater, and I guess she's just really good underwater, and her guides know that, and so they showed her. She was stunned at what they were showing. She said they didn't show her the plane. She figured they didn't show her everything because she could not her brain would not have been able to handle all that.
But yeah, people even seeing that live couldn't handle that. So when it happened, did she like come up and tell you, hey, I just saw this, and this, and then later on you all put it together?
She didn't tell me everything at the time, but she was telling me quite a lot, yes.
So not only did she say it out loud to you, so now both of you know it, not knowing anything's ever going to happen, and then when it happened, boom.
You saw. She never saw the planes, but she did see the fire. She saw the city on fire. She saw the Wall Street district. She saw people in agony. She saw things falling down. She saw people jumping. She saw.
That's about the worst. That was the worst for me. Seeing them jumping.
Even though I'm not that psychic, not like her, for me, I was just in shock. I was supposed to be working that day. I was working for Nike Folsom Outlets in Folsom, and I was asleep, and my mom woke me up and said, Jeannie, turn on the TV. And I'm going, what? You know, I'm asleep, you know? And she said, turn it on. There's been a plane has crashed into the towers. Well, I turned it on in time to see the second plane smash in. I was just crying when I found that out. I mean, you just see that. It looks surreal. I mean, it was like something out of a movie. It's like something you'd see in a movie, you know,
yeah.
A disaster movie.
And a movie you wouldn't believe.
Yeah, exactly.
It's because just too much. It's just too much happening. Yeah. Oh, thank you so much for your call. I really appreciate that. Thank you for that information. Wow. Yeah, I agree. I agree with her totally as well that, man, it was just like watching a movie, especially the smoke coming around and everybody running. It was just, what a nightmare. And I thank everybody that's been a part of it to tell their stories. We've got more of it with Richard Sirrett tomorrow night. He's going to do the alternative theories. But I thank you guys for being a part of it with me last night as well as tonight and sharing your stories. So thank you, Stanley Swan, as well for showing up. And hey, if you guys like the show, let us know, write in and let us know good things. It's always nice to hear good things. Thank all of you for being here. So from the foothills of the Colorado Rockies, I want to thank a whole crew of people. These are the people that put this together, you guys. They're the ones that come together and make us. We're all over the country, kind of spread out. But these are the names you always hear. It's Julie Talbot, Bill May, Lisa Lyon, Tommy Danheiser, you know him, and Dan Galani, Stephanie Smith, Mike Cosio, Lex Lonehood, Sean Ledesour, Tim Banal, Gina Salvati, also doing the phones with us tonight, Donna Walker, Greg Foster, Ryan Stacey, Chris Burles, Ian Punnett, Lisa Garr, Richard Sirrett, George Knapp, John Bond. I know there's a few other ones, maybe not. George Norrie. Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate that he allows me to be on here. Now, somebody had wanted to ask once again about what I had seen as the premonition. I was just walking the streets of New York. It was about two weeks before. I'm not even sure. I was just going back and forth there with some work. And I was walking and looking down because you got to make sure you don't walk in a hole or a gutter or something. And then I was looking up too, so I wouldn't run into people because it's very, very busy streets. And I saw a plane and it was very low. And I said to myself, well, I kind of looked back down, then looked back up because I had to do that. Like, whoa, is that what I think I saw? So I looked up, there it was again. It was still there and it was flying very low. And look back down to make sure I was not going to hit a hole. And as I look back up, I said, there's just no way that's a plane because it's just flying too low. And I said, it would hit a building. And then I just kind of blew it off like, ah, well, that's New York. That's what I did, because even when I was visiting up there, a lot of New Yorkers would say those things to me. Ah, well, only in New York. Or anybody else would. Ah, only in New York. I love that city. But those things happened. And again, the other thing that happened, being down in the basement where, it's down. I don't know if they call it the basement, but it's where the shops were. They were not open. There was nothing going on. I couldn't find a bathroom. It was the Twilight Zone. Looking for the bathroom, but it could never, you know, it never showed up. And going all the way into the other towers underneath, it was ridiculous. I still don't know what happened. And when I got back to the people I was with, they didn't even notice I was gone. I was gone for quite a while. Made no sense. And then having the cab driver that was taking me there, insisting on letting me know, hey, there's something going to happen. There's something going to happen. This all happened before we would even think of anything like this. And then pointed to a plane and said, that could be a missile. And then also said, you Americans don't listen. And I just thought, it's New York. That's New York. So, maybe that's a thing to, I wish we could practice more on that premonition, learn more about that. We're going to have to bring somebody in at one point with me and talk about premonitions and how we can hold on to that, recognize that, and somehow use it. For some reason, we get it. I don't know. Maybe we can or maybe not. Anyway, thank you so much for joining me. I do appreciate it. You guys have been wonderful. So until we meet again, keep watching the night skies and continue with me to seek out the strange. Check me out at ConnieWillis.com and uncover the unknown. For Coast to Coast AM, I'm Connie Willis.